Want to call on the Lord in prayer and ask his favor for the teaching. Lord, you are good and you are kind, and my heart is so full right now. And I ask that you would give me grace so that the words of my mouth, the meditations of my heart would be acceptable and pleasing to you, and that you and your kindness would speak your truth, your life, your grace into those who have an ear to hear. Abba, Father, bless. Thank you that you are love. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Genesis 24, and this is the text. Now, these are the records of the generations of Isaac, Abraham's son. Abraham fathered Isaac, and Isaac was 40 years old when he took Rebekah, the daughter of Bethuel, the Aramean of Padan Aram, the sister of Laban the Aramean, to be his wife. Isaac prayed to the Lord on behalf of his wife because she was unable to have children. And the Lord answered him, and his wife Rebekah conceived. But the children struggled together within her, and she said, "If it is so, why am I in this condition?" So she went to inquire of the Lord, and the Lord said to her, "The two nations are in your womb, and two peoples will be separated from your body. And one people will be stronger than the other, and the older will serve the younger." When her days leading to the delivery were at an end, behold, there were twins in her womb. Now the first came out red, all over like a hairy garment, and they named him Esau. Afterward, his brother came out with his hand holding on to Esau's heel. So he was named Jacob. And Isaac was 60 years old when she gave birth to them. All right. Yes. That's Genesis chapter 25, not 24. Crisis averted. God still reigns on high. We're going to make it. Thank you. Yeah. In fact, I don't. Here's the thing with my aging brain. Ed, I don't see that when I'm preparing, right? Until right now. And then I go, it's not 24, it's 25. Dear Lord, Abba Father, please have mercy on us. We're going to make it. We're going to make it. So... thank you. Wow, it's not like there's not enough on my shoulders right now, you know. Okay, all right. So let's dig in. There's a lot here, and I thought, you know, as a man, I thought I could skip this woman's story, and I could go down to the part where Esau's a hunter and he likes to bow hunt. That'd be cool. Hooah. And then Jacob, he's a mama's boy in the kitchen cooking. No. And I thought, you know what? I'm not going to do that. I want to honor God's word, and I want to honor this amazing story. It's going to be about Rebekah today. Ladies, please, I need you to own the text with me, all right, with us. Take ownership of this thing, and because we need to hear from you right now. All right, here we go. Let's dig in. We're going to do a little bit of Hebrew. Now, these are the records of the generations of Isaac. Okay, got that. Abraham's son. And Abraham fathered Isaac, and Isaac was 40 years old. Mark that down in your mind. Isaac's 40. My history buffs, how old is Rebekah? At this time, he marries at 40. How old is Rebekah? She may be late teens to 20s. Yep, very young. She's very young, okay? When he took Rebekah. All right. Isaac, she was barren. She was not conceiving, all right? Drop down to that last line. Isaac was 60 years old when she gave birth. How long was she infertile? 20 years. That's a long time. And that's a burden a woman will bear that most men will not understand. Even if they try to ascend to the facts, they will not get the burden in a woman's heart who cannot be pregnant. So Isaac prays, athar, it means to pray, it means to ask. to the Lord Jehovah on behalf of his wife because she was unable to have children. And the Lord answered. That's all it says. It says, though Isaac asked, God answers, gives them the child. Okay. And his wife Rebekah conceived. Beautiful. And the children struggled. Ratzah. It's an intense word. It means to crush or to break, is what that word means. So you might translate it something like this. But the children were fighting each other, trying to break each other in the womb. Genesis 3:15. What does it say? Do you remember? God announced what? That there would be enmity between the seed of the woman and Satan. And Satan would bruise his heel, but he would crush his head, strike his head. There is war, I believe, a spiritual battle going on inside her womb, together within her. And she said, now this is the New American Standard Translation, which I think does a good job on the average, above average, in doing literal Hebrew and literal Greek. It's just a good translation, okay? Notice the italicized words. When you see it italicized, it means what? It's not in the text, is what it means. It's not in the text. So therefore, it would read as follows. If it is so, why am I this? Okay, again, this is a moment when only a lady's going to get this. That a woman is pregnant, something's wrong, and she immediately turns it in on herself and says, what is wrong with me? What's going on with me? What's happening? I believe she is deeply distraught. I believe she's very afraid. Something is wrong. This is not what is known in OB lingo as the quickening, where the baby first starts to move and it almost feels a little bubbly. We're not talking about that. These kids are fighting inside of her. And she's scared. What's going on with me? And then it says, she went on to inquire of the Lord. That is darash. That is not afar. She's not just praying, hey, dear God, can you please help me be pregnant? She's inquiring. She is going hard after God. She is chasing him down. She's saying, God, what is going on? Her heart is broken, and she's pursuing God deeply. And notice this, and the Lord said to her, said Amar. The Lord said, by the way, the same word that is used to describe how God talked to Moses face to face. Amar, God said to her, two nations are in your womb and two peoples will be separated from your body. And one people will be stronger than the other and the older will serve the younger. When the days leading to the delivery were at an end, behold, there were twins in her womb. And the first came out red, all over like a hairy garment. This may be a reference to red hair. A red-haired boy comes out. And they named him Esau, Esav in Hebrew. Afterward, his brother came out with his hand holding on to Esau's heel, so he was named Jacob, which means to cheat, by the way. Esau means hairy, and Jacob means cheat, the cheater. And Isaac was 60 years. I want to show you something. Infant and child mortality in the ancient biblical world. Very, very hard to get this data. There were not a lot of records available when you talk about historical data before the turn of the century or the 81 and going back, say, 2,000-3,000 years. Extremely difficult to do that, right? So, but this is what historians have given us. It is please see this through the eyes of a woman as best you can. It has been estimated that less than half of all children survived to their fifth birthday. And only 40% would survive to the age of 20. Okay. So if you're going to give birth to a baby, there's a very high percentage that you're going to lose the baby in the birth process. There's a very high percentage that your child's going to die by age 5. and even more by the age of 19, at the age of 20. Childbirth could be dangerous for the wife. Obviously, evidence for this may be observed in inscriptions that mention the death of women giving birth. Children also suffered a very high rate of mortality before they were even of a marriageable age. That's from Chapman, Marriage and the Family. One more. This is tough. It may be said that Jews shared with pagans both the fate of a short life expectancy, with the average length of life having been perhaps about 30 years. And the fate of a high infant child mortality, probably not half of those born reaching adulthood. It's a tough time to live. And then you say, yeah, but Isaac was 60. Look how old Abraham was. So here's something you need to be aware of. That in the New Testament times, Philip, I know you remember this, the average life expectancy was around 42 years of age. And certainly it's improved as medical services and nutrition have improved through the centuries. This is a tough time to live. And if you made it to 40 and 60 or 120, it's a miracle. In fact, the ancient peoples would look at somebody that old and say, the only way that you're that old is because you have the favor of God on your life. That's the only way. Okay. With disease, famine, war, the complications of childbirth, and all these things, life was hard. Okay, life is really hard. So, ladies, with those kinds of statistics, would you be anxious about your delivery day? Oh my goodness, oh my goodness. So let's look at this. How do we live this out as the church? Rebecca was infertile for at least 20 years. Her culture taught her to engage in the most bizarre cultic practices to become pregnant. By the way, if you want to see my research notes and sort primary source information, I'll get that to you. It is disgusting what they would in Mesopotamia, in Ur, what they would do to a woman to try to help her to get pregnant. Disgusting. All right? That's the culture Rebecca was raised in. Remember, Abraham said to his number one employee, go to my land of my family, make the 900-mile trek, and you find a woman for my son Isaac. Don't you dare take her here. Got to go back to the homeland. There's something about the bloodline and Abraham's call by God. And so he does that. Do you realize that Rebecca was raised in a pagan culture that worshiped the moon? Do you appreciate that? She grew up in that. Her parents were moon worshipers and all the relatives. She would have thought that the treatments to get pregnant were what you do. That's the normal thing you do. You and I, it's disgusting, but it's normal. She didn't turn to that. Instead, she turned to God. Guess what? Rebecca learned the faith of Abraham. There is a one true God. His name is Jehovah. She became a believer. She became a follower of Yahweh. That is amazing. Regarding infertility, I had the privilege of interviewing some ladies to get ready for today. And I said, what was it like to deal with infertility? And they said, the reality that I will not have a legacy. I'm unloved. I'm rejected. I'm unwanted. I'm being punished. I'm unworthy. I'm less of a woman by not getting pregnant. After Rebecca became pregnant with twins, the twins moved so violently in her that fear and anxiety kicked in and caused her to question herself. Regarding pregnancy, several moms told me they had anxiety that the baby wouldn't be safe. They would be afraid that something's wrong with the baby. Maybe the baby didn't move for a day or two and they think something's wrong. A woman waits with anticipation for the quickening, the feeling of the baby fluttering in her womb, and then all of a sudden there's no movement. What's wrong? What's wrong? What's wrong? There's genetic problems. One mother told me, I'm afraid that I wouldn't be a good mom. Another mom told me, I'm afraid I will play favorites and love one more than the other. Anybody been there and done that? Anybody experienced that? where your parents played favorites? It's a very real thing, by the way. It's a very real thing. Rebecca turned to God for help. She didn't turn to the bizarre cultic practices of ancient Mesopotamia, today Iraq. Babylon is in Iraq, in Babylon. She didn't go back there. Jehovah not only answered, this is beautiful. Jehovah not only answered the prayer of Rebecca, he talked to her. And he gave her deep theological truth about her children. God talks to women just like he talks to men. In Jesus, men do not have rights of access to the Father based on their gender. God gave Isaac what he wanted, but God gave Rebecca a conversation. That is amazing. Ladies, God wants to talk to you. God wants a conversation with you. You are worthy. In Jesus Christ, you have been made worthy. In Jesus Christ, you have been brought near, the Apostle Paul said. Her sons, Esau the hairy hunter and Jacob the cheater. Moms told me one of the biggest things they had anxiety about was that the cord would be around the baby's neck during the birth process. The fetal monitor in hearing the baby's heart rate change, go up or slow down in the panic during the birth in the delivery room and hearing a change in the monitor. One mom told me that she feared for her life. Absolutely terrified. Another one told me that they felt absolutely helpless. Complete vulnerability and absolutely helpless. Only one mother told me this. I felt so empowered because I knew that God was using me as an instrument of his creative power to bring life. I thought that was beautiful. The two sons represent faith and law, the work of Christ, the work of Satan. Sarah representing Jerusalem, Hagar, Sinai. You're familiar with these stories. Isaac and Ishmael, the two boys. Paul writes of this extensively in Romans 9 and in Galatians 4. All right. You are the gifted body of Christ. We're getting at the heart of this story and that God is using Rebecca. By the way, in Matthew chapter 1, we have a genealogy which establishes the bloodline beginning with Adam and Eve right on up to the birth of Jesus. Rebecca is in the bloodline, and Rebecca is mentioned as the mother of Jacob, not Esau. Why? Theological pop quiz. Why? Why would the text honor Jacob and not Esau? Why?
Esau sold his birthright?
Not firstborn. What?
Exactly.
Esau is not the son of promise. Esau is of the law in brokenness by that. It is Jacob who is considered the cheat. hitching a ride, grabbing a heel to get a toe, you know, out of the situation. The cheater, and by the way, it means to supplant, to deceive, to cheat. That's Jacob's name.
Would the parents have recognized that transaction that went on between Jacob and Esau?
Come next Sunday. Gonna be good.
What if I won't be?
Church is more important than the beach, okay? Let's just get that out there. So,
wait, where were you last week?
Lisa and I got our passports and we did international missions in a foreign country. It's known as California. It's not the West Coast, it's the Left Coast, but you know, and all right, just skip that. Skip that Left Coast. I'm going to tackle one of the toughest subjects next Sunday. By the grace of the Lord, I'll honor his word. Because there's a text when Paul writes in Romans, Jacob I loved and Esau I hated. That's hard. And if you understand the theological schema known as Calvinism, you guys probably know something about Calvinism. You have what's called election. So we got a tough thing to tackle next Sunday, and already heard from the Lord. He was kind to me already, so I'm excited about it. All right. One more thing. You know, Nicodemus. Has anybody seen the... Raise your hand if you've seen The Chosen. Please download the app and watch this series. The way they present Nicodemus is incredible. All right. Now, we know from the text of John 3 that Nicodemus is a leading professor, one of the leading teachers of Israel. The guy is a genius. All right. I'm telling you, Nicodemus is brilliant. Complete mastery, quoting verbatim the first five books of the Old Testament. Not only mastering verbatim those five books, mastering verbatim commentary on those books. The guy's a genius. He's afraid. He comes to Jesus at night. He's trying to figure this thing out. And of all the metaphors that Jesus could have grabbed and used to describe being saved, the salvation of experience, he uses the birth process. Unless you're born again, you will not see the kingdom of God. You've got to be born of water. You've got to be born of the Spirit, which leads to the brilliant, brilliant confession and proclamation of John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. You are the body of Christ. Getting at the heart of the text of Genesis 25 and Rebecca and what she went through, that God spoke to her heart. As God spoke to Moses, God spoke to Rebecca. How do we pull this out of this world, the world of the Old Testament, into our world today so that we live this out, so that we are not a fast food church? You know what I mean by fast food church? You get your quick little Taco Bell order, a little spiritual sprinkle on it, boom, and you're out the door. In 90 minutes after the service, you can't even remember what we talked about. How was church today? I don't know. Chris said some things and Stephen sang a song or two. I don't know. It's church. What? No fast food church. Give me another little quick devotional, bang, out the door and I forget about it. We got to own it. We got to live this out. This is a week-long assignment. We got to live this out. How do we pull it into our world? Learning from Rebecca's faith, her struggles, the fact that she turns to, what is wrong in me? What's going on? And God speaks to her and she doesn't go back to the old ways. How do we live this out as the church? Now, guys, I encourage you to speak, but ladies, please, we need to hear from you. We need to hear from your heart. You're the church. How do we live this out? Why does this matter? And also online, Stephen, anybody online on Facebook or in the app, please engage. We want to hear from you. Yeah, athar in Hebrew just simply means to ask. And it could be something as simple as, hey, would you mind getting me a cup of coffee? Just an ask, a request. But the word that describes what she did is more intense, to inquire, the intensity. Her heart is breaking. But her heart is breaking not just because she's struggling with infertility. This is a different, now we're getting into a health crisis. Something's going on inside her womb that's so violent she's scared. I believe this is the language, to the point that she, if this is it, what am I? In Hebrew, whatever this thing is, what am I? So she's really turning inward. I think she's scared. Yeah. Someone else, why does this matter?
Well, essentially, she's a person of promise. I mean, she was miraculously given to Isaac. You know, it wasn't like she was a random woman. I mean, like, there was this choosing event that was of God. And her, you know, her desire of her heart is answered, that she's going to have children. But she's been, instead of just getting children, she gets a struggle. And what do you do with all you want of those kids, but what you're going to get is a struggle that's going to, you know, it's not going to be these two boys who are going to take care of you when you're old. It's going to be two nations fighting against one another. And that gets to some of the selfishness that I feel right now. There's struggles that I see around me, and I think, well, this is a struggle that needs to be fought, but I don't see a way to win. So I'm like, well, I'm not even going to try.
Yeah.
I'll just give up. And then there's other women that feel really strongly about something, and so they're willing to go to a school board or do what they need to in order to stand up, speak for truth. And so they're walking into the struggle and saying, well, this is what's been given to me, and I don't like it, but I'm going to walk into it.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently that's what Rebecca did. I mean,
she faced it. So are you saying that having a baby and raising a child will interrupt your time on Instagram?
Well, I think we all know that. I think it's that when you get chosen by God, you get chosen for struggle that's way bigger than you.
Way bigger. Yeah. And that's why I said there's spiritual warfare going on. What's it? Yeah, yeah. There could have been the Camel Times. I mean, some really cool thing.
She has six kids.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yeah. That's good, Margaret. Thank you. Yes, Andrea. You know, I taught several months back that abortion is satanic. And that ever since Genesis 3:15, Satan's been trying to kill children. And I think that's a part of what's going on in her womb. So, someone else, why does this matter? How do we pull it into our world? Something as simple as, anybody here tempted to go back to the old ways? You know, by the way, when we are calm and we're really kind of regulated and we're in a good mood and we feel spiritual, we can come up with some of the coolest theological ideas. But you back us into a corner when we're panicked and scared, and all of a sudden, we can act like different people. The temptation of Rebecca to go back to the old ways that she learned in Ur of the Chaldeans, ancient Babylon, I'm sure they were there in her mind, but she had turned to Jehovah. She turned to the God of Abraham, discovered faith. And she turned to God instead of the old ways. David.
I also see this as it's natural to be afraid.
Yes.
But just like the two children that were in there that were struggling, as you were saying, the Spirit and Satan. It's the same with us when we're saved. When Christ is in our heart, it's going to be a struggle with our flesh and with Christ. And where do we turn to?
Yeah.
What is the choice we make to do that?
Yeah.
Who do we go to?
Yeah, and if any man is in Christ, any woman is in Christ, they're a new creation. Behold, all things have become new. The old is gone, it's passed away. Beautiful. Someone else, why does this matter? Kathy.
Well, I was just thinking about how, you know, she was there for 20 years. She comes to this new land, new ways, and she accepts God. And then 20 years pass, she's not pregnant, she's barren. And I think we see a lot of examples of this in the Bible where God has taken years to prepare a person for their moment. And just think, if she got pregnant right away and this had happened, who would she have turned to? Probably the moon. And the moon wouldn't have comforted her or talked to her or anything like that. But 20 years she had preparation and you know, learning who God was, so that's who she turned to right away to help her to go through that struggle. And I think we can apply that now. Just, you know, kind of what Andrea was saying, you know, about some people just jump right into that struggle. And as somebody who's very impulsive, that can be a bad thing. I think we have to really be very careful and patient sometimes. And maybe our time to do something is God's time. That might be 20 years down the road,
wow,
or 30 years.
Yeah.
Or it could be next week. But, you know, we have to, you know, be very...
Yes, patient. Yes, yes. So Paul writes in Romans 5, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have obtained our introduction by faith into this grace in which we stand. And we exalt in hope of the glory of God. Not only this, but we also exalt in our tribulations, knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance, and perseverance proven character, and proven character hope. And hope, by the way, has everything to do with faith. Because, and hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit has been given to us. Anybody else on why this matters and how we live this out? Anybody? Anybody online, Stephen? Okay.
Probably seems obvious. It's all word of God, but it's always so comforting to me. It's beautiful that in the midst of all this crazy mess, and God's just, there's no separation. He's in all of it. He's taking care of everything, planning and leading, how much it's beautiful. It's, I don't know, just kind of in a simple way, it's, I don't know, just comforting to see that. It's a wild story, but God's like, he's not lost.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's good. That is goodly. Yeah. She wasn't as alone as perhaps she may have felt. Yeah, I like that. Anyone else? Why this matters? Yes, Deanna.
Choosing them and different aspects of their and my life wasn't happy. And what Andrea said with the struggle, his goal isn't to make us happy in this life, it's to transform us into his image. So he brought me Branson to like grind each other. Like
heavenly sandpaper.
Rough rocks together.
Yeah. Rejecting it.
Yeah, but not the not the tool that God brings to me, being the actual struggle and the vessel to transform me into his image.
Mm-hmm.
And it took several years, maybe 5 years of going through the struggle and coming out on the end. Seeing that as one, God gives us free will, and someone can choose to not obey God with the free will he gave us. But then two, that struggle is making me more like him. So that later in life, when our house flooded, all in the same week, our house flooded, both kids were sick. He just came home from surgery. And we're praising the Lord. And we feel peace. Like, it took that struggle to get there.
Yeah.
And so if you're in that struggle and it's hard to praise God, that's okay. Because I was there. I would tell people I wasn't a Christian because I really didn't know that God, like, I believed in God, but because the struggle was so hard, I doubted his love for me, and I couldn't fully say that I was, but I wanted to, and so now he's brought me out of that. So I guess, in the struggle, and I know I'm, like, taking a lot of time, and I'm really sorry, but in the struggle, find people that will walk with you through it, and people that can encourage you, and know that you're not perfect, and God is big, and he is okay during that struggle. He is not rocked by your struggle. And if you turn away from him, but you're still like desiring him, like, he'll wait for you.
Oh, Deanna. Deanna, listen, you're a young lady. You know that? You have spoken wisdom at a level most people twice your age do not understand. Let me repeat, because this is, do you understand what she said, how critically important it is? The next chapter, the next story with this wonderful woman named Rebecca, what does she do? She gets involved in a behavior that is so damaging, right? This is the wonderful woman that talked to God face to face. What did you say at the beginning? You said, you know, God used the whole story. God uses really messed up people, and he's working in what did Paul say in Romans 8? God causes all things to work together. So if you are of the mindset, let me be quick. If you're of the mindset that God only uses those who are purely obedient and those that have no stains on their resume, you have just missed the gospel of Jesus Christ. You are buying into the mindset of a Pharisee. You're buying into the mindset of the Word of Faith movement, which is horribly toxic. You're missing the heart of Jesus. God uses broken, messed up, disobedient, struggling people who somehow in the thick of it, Deanna, still seek him out. Thank you. You taught us grace. That was beautiful. Christ Church, the last thing she said is, if God is creating within us the image of his son, and he is, that's Romans 8, 29 and 30, then seek out a church that will help create the image of Jesus in you. Not a church who will entertain you, not a church who will tickle your ears, but a church who will create the character of Christ in you. Deanna, that's why we need each other. That's why. So I'm going to pray and ask God's favor on us all. Abba, Father, thank you for the grace and the truth and the wisdom that's been shared this morning, the teaching of your word that brings life. We confess that your word is life, and the words of your son bring life to us. Your word is alive and living like a sword. We have to turn our hearts in gratefulness to you now, that you are working in us, broken people, just like Rebecca, just like Isaac. Thank you for grace, and that in your grace and your love we have hope. Thank you for Jesus and the gift of being born again in your Son. Father, pray that anybody here doesn't know his Lord and Savior, they will not leave today without experiencing the new birth. Please stir their spirit about being saved, being born again. Lord, I love you and I thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.